Hello, friends and fellow adventurers. Welcome to the Min-Max Podcast. We want to thank you for joining us, and you do so as we continue Bloodlords. As always, we'd like to invite you to come join our Discord, where you can hang out with us and other listeners of the show. And if you'd like to throw a little financial support our way, you can check out our Patreon. And a shout out to all of those at our big number level and above, because we still haven't changed the tiers. Rock Jedi, Iggy, Wolf, Blartimus Slump, Thunder Mammoth, The Trevor Project, Das Chris, Fizzgig, AC Goldner, Eric R, Ope, just gonna sneak right past you there, Indie Link, Tawdry Monster, Mercutio, Angel Shadowheart, Cy Rendon, Forevermore, The Brigand Alliance, Dicky Lopez, Licky Dopez, Rickety Rope Bridge, Alex K, Doma El Laka, Frank L, Just Mike Works, Ross D, Marab Syndrome, Victor, Zach S, Jamie H, Mr. Turtle, Sleeve, Darren, Caleb W, Corey, Pickle, Mr. Grimm, Fire Down, M54 Ewas, Jameson S, Eric R, +2 for +7 of Whacking, I'm Not a Robot, George F, and Leo Hart. Shout out to new patrons this week at the build-up, Zolin, and at the big number, Hard Har Har. Thank you all so much for your support. And now a recap of Session 4. Still at Old Eargag's farm, we managed to recapture 3 zombies using kicks as mobile bait. We let Sig the intelligent zombie back out, and we get to work cleaning things up. Once we're done, we gather up what we can, including all the corpses of the Quick. We then traipse our way back to town and meet with Berline. Kix uses magic to instantly relay the information to her. She says she's going to look into who these Quick might have been with their red cloaks with a white hand imagery. Berline hands us and has us sign the deed for a place called Kallak Manor. It's ours now, but something seems to have moved in and we'll need to clear it out. We rest at Berline's through the day. The next evening, we awaken to a gift from Bloodlord Haldoli. It's a walking cauldron for some reason. We decide to head over to our new manor and begin investigating. We quickly come upon a valiant hand doing battle with a rat swarm. We join the fray and defeat the rats. Our new hand friend says his name is Argoon the Annihilator. He's an interesting fellow, if a bit terse. Seems he comes with the manor. Argoon stays to clean up the kitchen while the rest of us continue to explore our new home.
So as you kind of explore around on the ground floor here, you find that there is a small hallway to the west of the courtyard where there is a line of bedrooms. There are 4 bedrooms in here, each with a single bed, nightstand, dresser, a bookshelf, a chest for clothing and items. If you were to search through them, you don't find anything of note. They're mostly empty.
Lame. Because Gerdra absolutely searches through them.
Yeah, you might find a couple of rags that are rotting and things of that nature, but otherwise you don't see anything of any import.
And is this like a good romance novel here laying on the floor?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's some smut in here.
The skeleton in the...
The old skeleton smut.
What's the title of that?
Skeleton and the Zombie.
I was thinking like...
Boners for Bones.
Bone me, said the zombie to the skeleton.
I keep forgetting I'm Arius and not the Wiz. Smut would have been right up the Wiz's alley.
I pocket the book.
Arius does not care.
Concern for fleshies.
Fleshlights.
As you make your way north, there is another bone archway on the north side of the courtyard that leads into another section of the home. The first thing you see as you walk in is there is what looks to be a study, perhaps. There are several comfortable chairs that face a stone fireplace on the north wall of the room, and countless sketches on dusty parchment lie scattered throughout the room. Many of them are torn or crumpled or trampled. Broken drawing implements and upended ink jars clutter the top of a writing desk against the west wall, and the desk drawer lies in pieces on the floor near the opposite wall.
Okay. Anything of note? Any good? Are the drawings any good?
If you search the room, go ahead and give your perception check.
It's going to be one of them nights. I get a 9.
A 9. Not really. You don't see anything of value, necessarily. You don't... Maybe aren't good enough at, with, pricing art, necessarily, to realize exactly what these things might be worth or not. They look good.
I was looking to see if it looked good. If I wanted to know whether it was worth anything, I'd do a lore mercantile check.
Okay, that's a good point. No, the art is actually very well done. There's a surprising amount of detail. And as you're checking out this room, the broken desk drawer on against the east wall that and the crumpling of the papers and all of that, that seems relatively recent, actually.
Does it look like our hand friend might have done it, or?
Our goon comes walking up, you know, scuttling up behind the party and says,
"Ugh, the ungrateful children did this."
I bet you that they were looking for something.
They were hoping for some special occult secrets. Nothing like that here.
Aren't we all? Well, I utterly failed my perception check, so I guess I think there's nothing of note in this room. I move on.
Who exactly are the ungrateful children?
Master Kalak tell them. I didn't catch their names. Disrespectful.
Remember, the ones that turned the deed over to Berline.
Oh.
Came in making a claim, and then bailed on it.
Didn't find what they were looking for.
Are those bones lining the stairs down?
Yes.
Love it. I would like to rifle through these papers a little bit to see if there's anything that... I'm curious about the history of this mansion or just about what might have been here. So I will make a perception check, kind of look through these papers and just what's in this room just to see if there's anything of interest.
Go on.
20.
A 20, as you're kind of looking through the papers, the drawings here are very nice, but there are a handful of drawings that distinctly lack the quality of some of the finer sketches here. They look like rough sketches of, like, skeletons, but with a bug or bugs inside of the skeletons. And the skeletons look like a mishmash of different types of bones, but it could just be a poor drawing as well.
Okay.
You also find in the desk a small pressure plate lid in the back right corner, holding a secret compartment.
Oh. I attempt to open it.
Kind of press down on it a little and it clicks and then springs open. And inside you see two vials.
I pull them out. Appears to be two vials hidden in this desk. Detect magic?
They are not magic.
Anybody have an idea what they might be?
I can take a look. I grab one and kind of hold it up to the light, swirl it around a little bit. It was supposed to click crafting. Same check, though. 20.
A 20. Are you taking... Is it 10 minutes to identify?
Yeah, it's 10 minutes. Yeah, it's the same to identify.
At this rate, we're almost to my hour where I can try my medicine again.
You are able to identify one of the items as a special alchemical substance called ghost ink. This pale blue ink dries rapidly, becoming fully transparent 1 minute after application. The ink glows red when exposed to heat, such as that from a torch or an open flame. The glow only lasts as long as the ink is exposed to heat, after which the ink becomes invisible again.
I look around for a candle or something.
You're able to find a candle. There's also a fireplace in this room.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of work to light a whole fire, though. I just want a little flame to warm up the pages.
Yeah, you'll be able to find a candle.
Or an ever-burning torch held by Lucan.
I don't think they produce heat.
Put off no heat.
What a dumbass.
When exposed to heat, this stuff will show up. So, should look at all these pages and see if there's anything invisible on them.
Kix, would you like to sit on them? With your warm bum.
Yeah, if that's how it works.
I just thought that'd be sillier. Well, honestly, my first thought was like I breathe on them to give them warmth, but then I'm like, wait, no, I'm dead. So, no.
That's not how that works.
But yeah, we expose them to heat. Do we find anything interesting?
While they do that, I'll check the other vial out.
Okay, it takes 10 minutes to kind of search through and see if anything, you know, reveals on any of these pages. While the other vial is being checked out, what'd you get on that, Gerdrug?
11.
You are not sure about the other substance. It's almost like mercury. It's a silver fluid that almost seems metallic in sheen.
Yeah, almost like it's quicksilver.
I mean, I didn't say that.
Something similar to that.
In the meantime, with the pages, is it just Lucan doing that?
I guess. I'm patient. I ain't going nowhere. Talk about ageless patience. I'm already dead.
You're able to test most of, if not all, the pages that you see here within that 10 minutes time. None of them reveal any writing or any ink.
All right. Well, then I believe we've now passed an hour, and I'm going to force everybody to wait another 10 minutes while I try to heal myself again.
I'll do the same.
Hey, Kix. Yeah. You know what this thing is?
Architra.
Finally.
What am I looking at right now?
Alchemy check.
21.
All right. Well, while Lucan's patching himself up, Kix, a 21 is a success. This item is an alchemical consumable called Silver Sheen. For a single action interact, you can slather this silvery paste onto one melee weapon, one thrown weapon, or 10 pieces of ammunition. It spoils quickly, so once you open the vial, you must use it all at once. For the next hour, the weapon or ammunition counts as silver instead of its normal precious material for any physical damage that it deals.
How neat.
Werewolves, Silver Sheen. Couple of rooms into the manor, we're about 2 hours into the evening at this point, after all the healing and the investigating and crafting that you've done so far. We've got a couple of more doors that you've yet to open. Actually, one door that you've yet to open.
I allow Gerdrug to do so.
Open that door!
I open that door.
This final door leads into a place that looks clearly like a master bedroom. This austere bedroom contains a wide bed, a chair, a writing desk, and a tall cabinet in an alcove in the southeast corner.
I want it. I want the master bedroom.
I perceive the room. I get a 15.
15, as you're kind of searching around the room here. In the cabinet, as you open up the doors to the cabinet, it holds a full plate suit of armor.
Ooh, full plate. Do you need that, Arius?
I don't think I can wear it.
So I don't know if you can even wear heavy armor, even as a...
fairly certain medium is my max as a war priest.
Shit. Or are you going to take the feat that lets you wear heavy armor?
Not. Wasn't planning on it, no. Maybe eventually, but not at the moment, so it's just money for us right now.
All right. But I put it on to Sundrinker. Like, it doesn't do anything, but now they're wearing it.
Now he's just
as a form of carrying it.
Can't stealth even more.
Yeah, now he just can't stealth.
Gerdrug, as you're searching around the room, you also find in the northeastern corner a small button concealed.
I push it.
In the door frame to the door that enters here. As you press that small button, a wall panel slides just to the north of that main door to enter this bedroom.
Ooh.
Nice. Ooh.
There's a secret room in here.
What is this stuff?
What?
Paperwork, some keys.
A stone altar occupies the north side of this room. A lead basin sits atop it, and a metal pail is on the floor nearby.
Yeah, look in the basin.
In the basin, you find a folded piece of paper closed with a plain wax seal.
Okay. Are those keys on the table too? Or is that
yes,
not right there?
There is a simple iron key ring with four small keys behind the lead basin.
I look at this piece of paper. Is there any writing on the front or anything? Like who it's supposed to be to? Or?
Not on the front, no.
How about the back?
No. It is folded and sealed.
Does the seal match, like, any other seals we've seen?
Not at all. The seal is just a plain circle. There is no signet.
No. Okay. Okay, I guess I open it.
You break the seal, and you see a note inside in common that reads, "I leave my home to my most loyal companion, Smoke, whom I buried in the crypt." Signed,
oh, fuck.
Kallak.
Smoke is down in the crypt, isn't he? That's what's fucking with this place. Okay.
And as you're glancing around, you also notice that there are a couple of teeth in the metal pail that's on the floor. But you see this, like, shine to them. That's unusual for just teeth.
Are they made of something other than toothy material?
Any some sort of check on them, or...?
They are made of something other than a toothy material. As you go to check them out, they are, in fact, vampire's fangs. Go ahead and give me a mercantile check.
Got a feeling Lucan's not going to like that too much.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
23.
They are made of platinum.
Ooh. God dang.
And wait, these fangs...
So they're not real vampire teeth?
Can I have grills? Vampire grills?
They are platinum. Vampire's fangs. I can't say no to that, David.
Hell yeah.
How much are they worth? 10 gold?
They're worth 10 gold a piece. They're just made of platinum, so that there's no cell conversion. They're just 10 gold a piece, or one platinum.
But are they hollow? Can I slip them onto my own fangs?
They are hollow.
All right, I fucking take them. I think I'd like these, if you don't mind.
I don't know, they're worth quite a bit, but I suppose. What am I going to do with them?
But think of how amazing they're going to look.
Insert sexy vampire mouth noises here.
Just admire... yes. Oh, look at those.
Lucan just over here miring himself.
Yes, exactly. I am putting platinum vampire grills in my inventory. That made this whole trip worth it.
Okay, well, I guess grab the note, grab the key.
Let's go meet our new friend Smoke.
Is there any actual papers on this other desk that are of any importance?
There are some papers that are there, but nothing of any importance that you can see. There are a couple of, like, legal documents. He's got some tax forms that are in here. You get an idea of what property tax here is going to look like.
There's taxes in Geb?
Don't we have a tax collector in our...
Shh. Did I leave my job just to fucking have to do the taxes again?
Kix, you have to do our taxes now.
Fuck.
I guess I'll do the same with these pages that we did with the other ones and kind of try to hold them up to heat, see if there's anything else written on them, including this one for Smoke.
So in the one for Smoke, as you heat up the note that says that, I leave the manor to Smoke, you see fade in, it kind of just bleeds into existence there with the invisible ink, a picture of a hound sitting.
Okay.
To give us any idea of how to make him our friend based on this picture?
Give me a perception check on it. Or better yet, society.
How about a 24?
Okay.
Nice.
Something about the hound looks off. Almost like where its limbs are aren't limbs, they're seams. And the hound doesn't have eyes that you can see. They're just blank spaces where his eyes would be. Now, normally on a drawing like this, you would dismiss it. But it certainly seems to be drawn with the same amount of care and craftsmanship of some of the drawings that you saw scattered along the floor in the study.
Any of those pictures have something similar where, like, the limbs are drawn differently or, like, just limbs or anything?
Well, if you take a look at some of the old drawings, you don't see... There aren't a lot of human or animal subjects in a lot of these drawings. So, there are some of them, but they're usually drawn far away in a larger landscape. But you are able to find a few that would indicate, yeah, whoever drew these is good enough to show, like, actual animal limbs.
So this guy's like modifying animals or something?
Fucking Full Metal Alchemist going on in here. Be some chimeras. It's gonna be a little girl and a dog.
Kill me.
Kill me. really quick, while everybody else leaves, I go to this desk. There's writing implements and paper, right?
Yes.
I quick grab a piece of paper, a blank piece of paper, and I write, Dibs, Lucan. And I set it on the bed.
The only double bed you found so far. All right.
I guess that leaves going downstairs.
Yeah, I was going to say, downstairs. That's basically the whole ground floor explored here. The only thing left is down to the basement.
Go into Let's the basement.
It. Stone steps in the center of this landing room spiral downward. They are studded with finger bones, and the railing of femurs offers support. As you make your way down the bone-chipped stairs, you hear the clattering of bones below. And it's not just Arius walking behind you. You make your way down. You find yourself in stark stone basement halls. And you hear that rattling in the distance.
This seems like a pretty empty room.
We were in no rush to come down here, right? I would have healed myself.
You had the 10 minutes. Did you not make the medicine check?
I attempted many medicine checks and failed many medicine checks.
He wants to wait another hour.
That's why I'm saying, were we in any rush to come down here?
That's fine, yeah. If you would have said you needed another hour, I would have...
I mean, we were already probably halfway through it, so we can wait a half hour. But if you fail again, I'm done.
I've been trying out my new bed. I've maybe been carrying my coffin into my new room. Oh, that's a nat one.
So, before you head down the stairs, Arius, you try to make a heal check. What'd you get?
A natural one, and then I roll a 5 for my damage against myself. I'm bloodied.
Accidentally crack your femur as you're trying to fix yourself up?
You better harm yourself then.
Yeah, don't you have heal?
I hate low levels.
Use a spell. Use a spell.
You can do it.
I have exactly one spell at level 1.
I only have 5.
5? That's plenty.
I have 1 as well. And cantrips.
Yep. 1 spell and cantrips.
I just stab things.
I stab.
Okay.
So upset about it.
Well, after we head downstairs, Gerdra gets a 26 to avoid notice.
All right, begrudgingly, Arius heals himself up. So you're on the landing of the basement level. You hear rattling bones in the distance. What do you do?
Then toss out a quick detect magic.
No magic.
Move towards the rattling bones.
Guess so.
Hide behind the big, scary skeleton.
Gerdrug, as you get closer to the hallway, you can see it branches off to the left and to the right. Down the hallway right in front of you, you see this creature.
Oh my, look at that thing. Looks like a skeleton with like a matrix bug in it. Also, he has a jaw in his crotch.
Yeah, that was the first thing I looked at.
So it was probably female, and it's that vagina dental stuff.
Vagina dentitis.
Like that movie Teeth.
Never had the pleasure.
No, it's not.
Oh, God.
No, it's definitely not.
Oh, it's vagina dentata. That's what they call it.
Standing in front of you in the hallway, Gerdrug, you see this amalgamation of bones. It's not quite a human skeleton. It looks like it might be made from bones of human skeleton, but there's this bug in the middle of this humanoid rib cage that has tentacles and tendrils all over, wrapping around and holding together like leg bones and arm bones and a skull. It's almost like it's made its own little personal chariot out of just random bones that it's found.
It's like a hermit crab, except not adorable or cute at all.
But does it see me?
Gerdrug was avoiding notice, yes. However, Arius makes big clang-clang sounds. And as the party gets a little further, you know, it down in the basement here, we're going to need to have everyone roll for initiative.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, I don't technically make big clank clank sounds. I don't have noisy armor.
Oh, it doesn't have the noisy trait?
Yeah.
Oh. No. Well, not stealthy party is not stealthy.
I can be stealthy.
I can too. I got a +1 stealth. I'm not negative.
Haven't said you're trying to be stealthy once.
We're just naturally... Oh, fuck me. I'm rolling so bad tonight. Fucking failed 3 treat wounds and critically failed 1.
My poor friend.
My initiative rolls have been under 10.
Why are you rolling so many dice?
I like that the secret rolls, just the dice have all question marks on them.
It is kind of fun.
Instead of numbers, they're just all question marks.
Gerdrug, you can use your avoid notice from earlier. I forgot to mention that.
Well, I mean, I still go first unless something else got higher than 21, but yeah, I got 26.
At the top of round 1, we are initiating combat because this skeleton bug creature lurches toward the party. But Gerdrug is finding himself in a position where he can, well, position himself first, unnoticed. Gerdrug, at the top of round 1, it's your turn.
And we just saw the 1.
Correct.
Might seem kind of weird, but I'm actually going to delay.
Okay.
Because I don't want it to know I'm here. I want it to come up to Arius.
Then after Gerdrug, that's going to take us over to a bug holding a skeleton together around the other corner. Uses its first action, not the one you saw, but a second one, lurches up, and it walks right past Gerdrug.
Good thing they're stupid.
Good thing I have had a really good stealth.
To get up to Arius. Yeah, it walks right by Gerdrug. Now, it takes 2 actions for it to get up to Arius. With its third actions, it takes one of those arm, like the set of bone arms that it's created, but it has a spike at the end of one of them, and it stabs forward at Arius with its bone spike.
And it gets a full 3 actions?
Does get full 3 actions. Does a 21 hit?
Yup.
Arius, take 11 points of piercing damage.
Good thing you healed yourself.
Yeah, I was just saying, good thing I used that arm, I'd be down.
On a hit, this creature's bone spike also deals persistent damage, persistent bleed damage. What do we know about how skeletons take bleed? So as a skeleton, you have the basic undead benefits, right?
Yep.
Bleed has no effect on non-living creatures or living creatures that don't need blood to live.
So, although it does not say anywhere in the undead traits that undead are immune to bleed damage, Ted is correct. In the bleed section of persistent damage, it does state, another special type of physical damage is bleed damage. This is persistent damage that represents loss of blood. As such, it has no effect on non-living creatures or living creatures that don't need blood to live. So... no, it does not say you're immune to it in the basic undead benefits. It is, however, listed in the determining the damage type of the core rulebook. This is on page 451. So, no, you do not take persistent bleed damage. Kix does, though.
Sucks to be mortal.
I think it's funny that you've got a character that literally does tons of kicks, and then you have a character uses mind powers and named it Kix.
Well, then after the bug skeleton hybrid creature comes up and stabs at Arius.
I'm going to go.
You're jumping in?
Yeah.
All right, Gerdrug hops in to the order, which means Gerdrug, it's your turn.
I'm going to 5-foot step up into flanking with Arius on this one that walked right by me. And we're going to do a little slicey slice. How about a 24 flat-footed?
A 24 flat-footed is a critical hit.
Let's do some critical deeps, boys. 26.
26? Holy shit. Nope. Not immune to precision damage. That critical hit, man. That
rogues be rogue
hit.
Tis a lot of damage.
Fuck, it's not dead.
As you find that perfect spot, because you snuck up behind it.
Yep.
and you slice across the bones and slice open some of the tentacles that are holding this set of bones together. You deal such devastating damage to this thing. You slice through it and the green blood spatters on the floor. The bone clatters into a pile, leaving just the bug that was on the inside.
That's weird.
Okay.
It is still alive, though.
Okay. I'm gonna sneak away.
Sneaking away from it?
Yep.
Can you do that without cover?
Well, I think I have to end in cover, but I'm actually more sneaking away from the other one.
Okay. Show me where you'd like to end your movement, then.
Oh, no, I can't. It's too far away. I forgot I move at half speed at sneak. I will have faster sneak later, but I don't have it yet.
So moving at half speed, you can't get it into cover from where you're at?
Not from both of them. So we'll just slash at him another time. We'll see if we can just kill him. Nope, 10.
A 10 will miss.
That's my turn.
Then that takes us over to the skeleton bug creature that is still all in one piece together down the hallway. The first one that you saw uses its first action to stride right up to Gerdrug. With its second action, it stabs at Gerdrug with its bone spike and gets a natural 20 on the die.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
Well, here comes some 2d12 damage.
Oh, thank us.
Seven. Seven points.
So less damage than Arius took.
Yes. Seven damage on the critical hit. It just gets 2d12, no static damage. That makes a difference. And since you don't take persistent bleed damage because ghost, it's going to strike at you a second time. This time only getting an 8.
No.
Well, that takes us over to Lucan and Sundrinker. It's your turn.
Well, I guess action one, I will cast Boost Eidolon on the Sundrinker.
All right.
For one action, which is it's a cantrip. Gives me +2 status bonus to damage rolls. Then I will use my Act Together. And with the first two actions of Act Together, I will cast Electric Arc on these two motherfuckers. Reflex saves.
So, we got the first one. This is the one without its skeleton. Gets a 28.
That's a crit success.
Okay, so that one's not going to take any damage. The other one, however, the one that was attacking Gerdrug, gets a 13.
That's failure. It'll be 6 damage to that one.
All right, takes all that damage.
And then with my final action from Act Together, I will use Sundrinker's ability to Lash, which is a one action ability. It allows Sundrinker to make an attack with the Reach trait. Single attack using Reach.
And this is the one that's not inside the skeleton, the bone chariot, right?
Yeah, don't know if I should use bludgeoning or slashing on it. I'm going to just go bludgeoning. I'm going to squish it.
Did not seem to resist the slashing I did.
Oh, I guess I would have probably noticed that. Okay, we'll just go slashing just because I know that works. Get a 22.
A 22 will hit.
Will deal 10 damage.
And Sundrinker's vine comes down and just splats this bug on the stone tiled floor. It's dead.
How do you think? That's my turn.
Well, that takes us over to Kix. It's your turn.
I will, out of the generosity of my GM, use Soothe and target my skeletal friend, and I will target his mind, boosting his mental defenses and healing his wounds.
All right. Soothe does give Arius a +2 status bonus to saves against mental effects, so effect will put on you.
As well, you gain 9 HP if you choose to accept. Well, and I will end my turn with Recall Teachings.
All right, that crack that showed up in Arius' femur before it patches itself right back up.
By mind powers.
So that takes us over to Arius. It is your turn.
I knew we brought the quick along for something.
Like how the psychic, like, what do I just, like, I just give you some, like, a pep talk, and you're like, oh, my leg feels better.
My bones are strengthened. I don't know.
It works.
Arius' first action, he will move down to the south to put himself in flanking with Gerdrug on the remaining enemy. And then second action, I will go ahead and take a swing.
I will aid.
Aid in the swing. First, let's get the aid number out of the way. Go ahead and make that occult check.
23.
A 23 is a success on the aid, which is a plus one, right?
Yeah. Hero points. I rolled another nat one. Oh, my God.
Poor guy.
Rolled a 3 for a good old 10.
That is going to miss.
You got a second swing, don't you?
Third action, I will take another swing. Slightly better. I get a 15 total.
A 15 hits. Flat-footed helps.
At least I rolled decent on my damage roll. 11 damage.
All right. As you slice and cut at the bone bug amalgamation here, the force of your greatsword shatters one of the supporting bones in this creature's structure, and it all comes clattering down. Gerdrug, it's your turn.
Yeah, already in flanking, so here we go. Ooh, 12. Gonna miss on flat-footed, but hey.
That will miss.
Guess what time of night it is.
It's hero point time.
19 to hit.
A 19 does hit.
Gonna do, oof, not very good damage, 10.
All right, you stab the bug creature and it squeals.
All right, second action, we're gonna swing again. How about a 14 to hit?
14 hits.
Do some more damage. You have really bad damage, 8.
It takes it all, and you cut the bug in half along the floor, leaving a green streak. It's dead.
Yeah, suck it, bug. Need some more bones?
Always. I start picking up bones.
Just shoving them in a pack. Just
they have like a pouch filled with bone shards.
You better let Luke and take a look at those wounds you got. I wouldn't want to hurt you if I tried.
Yeah, if we wanted to take 10 minutes, I could try and do a heal check on you.
So I'm trying to picture, like, what exactly do wounds on a ghost look like? And
it's like leaking ectoplasm.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking, like, ragged rips in, like, the ectoplasmic form, or just, like, you know, the ectoplasmic goop dripping out, or... going down his, like, sides.
Slightly fainter. There's some gaps in their form.
I succeed! I get an 18.
Just because I want to know. How bad would I have rolled? I would have failed.
You get 12.
Now, the Ostevite is a very interesting creature. Very fun, lots of flavor. But y'all crushed it. You're doing pretty good right now. Everybody is currently all healed up. And the hallway is clear of the bone-wearing bugs. You do hear the soft, like, click-clack of bones in the distance. And there are two hallways in front of you.
Oh, shit, there's a closed door, like, right next to Arius. Do we go indoors, or do we go to the end of the hallway first and find out what's in the hallway? Which looks like intestines or something inside that thing at the end? That's kind of gross.
Yeah, let's go back upstairs.
Are these aren't fresh intestines, right?
You have to.
We haven't gotten close enough to
find out.
Just take a big whiff.
I guess we're going to the end of the hall now.
How are your vampiric senses?
Where are the juicy bits at?
Juicy bits, huh?
Down here. Are we still in counter, or are we in exploration mode?
We are absolutely in exploration mode right now, yes. All right.
I'm using avoid notice.
Can we search to the west yet?
Nope. I went to see what the intestines were.
Talking about the intestines.
We're heading south. South down the hallway.
Oh, look at all those skeletons for you there, Arius.
Ooh, so many juicy bits.
so many bones for you.
I do enjoy a good bone.
So,
okay. So we get down to the end of the hallway, see lots of bones. Are these intestines?
This long hall contains a 5-foot-wide, 30-foot-long trough of writhing viscera. To the east and
writhing?
West. Yes, writhing. To the east and west wings of the room, there are heaped with countless bones. The bone pile to the west is riddled with tunnels and holes. And as you approach the writhing trough of viscera,
I can't say I like the name of this thing.
It plops and slorps.
That's so gross.
It's acceptable.
It'll toss a couple of fart sounds in there here and there.
It's all them juicy bits.
It's absolutely disgusting, truly. The intestines and the viscera that's in this trough take shapes, and they kind of flow with this weird current that makes it look as though they could form into shapes of some kind.
But nothing's, I mean, other than the weird, like, the fact that it's, like, undulating, there's nothing, like, really moving. Like, no creatures or anything that
no.
we see at the moment.
At present, most of the sound that you've been hearing, the clinking and clattering of bones, is coming from that western corner of the room where all of the tunnels and holes and the bones are.
Yep. At this point, I'm waiting for somebody with more hit points than me to go first.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Yeah, that's totally the psychic.
I charge forward.
Because, you know, psychics are known for
Their physical prowess.
Who's approaching the clattering of bones in the west?
Sundrinker and Arius are kind of in front.
As you get within about 10 feet, you see the clattering bones almost seem to be, like, writhing themselves. But you look closer and you can see that they are countless, minuscule scavenger vermin. That light purple color that's similar to the big ones that were inhabiting the bones you saw earlier. And they have these vicious little acid-dripping mandibles. As you get within 10 feet, they all surge out countless numbers from the holes in the bones and reach right toward Arius and Sundrinker. And we are going to have you roll initiative. And as our combat here begins, the Ostevite nest gets a reaction as the line of tiny Ostevites come sweeping toward you. A stream of acid shoots out and hits Sundrinker with a 21 to hit.
A 21 hits.
Hits. Sundrinker will take some acid damage. 12 acid damage.
Jesus Christ!
As it sizzles through spots and a couple of vines and branches fall off of Sundrinker and plop into the pool of viscera, disappear. At the top of round one, Gerdrug.
Alright, so I know you said it got like a reaction.
Yes, that's how it started.
Has it technically gone yet? Specifically for surprise attack. If you rolled deception or stealth for initiative, creatures that haven't acted are flat-footed to you.
Oh, I see what you mean. I'm going to tell you that that won't actually matter when you go up to hit it.
Oh, is it immune to flat-footed or something?
Yes and no. Yes.
Or something.
It did technically act. It started with a reaction for initiative. I would say outside of the question in general, or the answer in general, yeah. Yeah, it acted. Kind of like an ambush situation, you know?
The word reaction makes me think it acted.
You don't normally see that something gets a reaction before combat even starts. But I guess I would do what I would normally do. One action to move up closer. A second action to actually try to tumble through. Acrobatics roll. Yep, guessing the 10's going to fail.
And that is versus its reflex DC. A 10 is a failure, but not a critical failure.
I guess I would trigger reactions if it has any.
It used its reaction before.
Well, I guess either I attack it or I just try to move into better positioning. I guess I'll just move into better positioning and get behind it.
Now, if you're going to be climbing on, this is like the pile of bones, right?
Uh-huh.
That's going to be greater difficult terrain.
Does that matter to a ghost?
Don't. We're not doing this right now. we'll do it every session. I swear.
Yeah, but the ghost does specifically say it ignores difficult terrain.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
That one was specific.
But greater difficult terrain?
It doesn't specifically use the words.
I'm sure.
That was greater difficult terrain. I've never even heard us use that.
It's like three times. Like you go a third. Floating. This means you can move above many types of difficult or hazardous terrain without moving slowly or being damaged, even though you can't fly without limit.
Man, big benefit. Yeah, you're right. That would be greater difficult terrain for literally anyone else but you. So you just kind of float up the side of this bone pile.
I have a ton of movement. I've got 25 feet of movement to go two steps, so I'm probably fine anyways, but there it is. Three actions. Done.
All right. Then after Gurdrug, Arius, it's your turn.
Nice. First action, I will go ahead and move myself into flanking. This is my character that just hits things, right? Yeah. I don't need to do anything. It's not my fucking ranger. Second action, I will go ahead and take a big ol' swing with my greatsword. I get a 23 to hit.
A 23 hit.
All right, well, damage. 11 damage.
11 damage. And you bring the sword down, and bone clatters and flies in all directions, and you cut down into the nest of Ostevites. Little critters go flying even. You don't deal nearly as much damage as you think you did.
Man, third action, I swing again, and it was so fucking close to being a nat 20. Like, I was just hovering on 20, and I was just like, nope, fuck you, and rolled over to a 2. 3 to hit. I assume that, like, critically misses, basically. It won't misses.
I mean, yeah, that'll miss. Critically miss won't matter, but yeah, it does.
Yeah, that's my turn.
Then after Arius, that takes us over to Lucan and Sundrinker. It's your turn.
Why don't I have battle medicine yet? Jesus. 12 damage. Ugh. Well, I will start with casting a spell at this thing. Because fuck it. Electric arc. Reflex save.
A reflex save. All right. Get a 24 on that.
Well, that's a success. You'll take half of this damage.
All right.
So half of 8, which is 4. This is acted together, by the way. And with its one action from act together, Sundrinker will move to, like, here? Because I don't want to be near it. And then with my third action, Sundrinker will make a tendril strike. So tendril strike is the plant Eidolon's special ability it gets at first level. Essentially gets reach. It increases its reach by 5 feet for this strike. So we'll make a vine strike and we'll do bludgeoning since this is versatile. I will get a 21 to hit.
A 21 hits.
Excellent. I will deal some damage. That's 9 damage. Bludgeoning.
Okay. It takes that 9 damage, but it takes just a little bit more because that bludgeoning blow comes and breaks apart some of this mound's bindings with each other, and these bugs go scattering.
That's good. I need it to die. That's my turn.
Then after Lucan, that takes us to the Ostevite nest. We're going to strike the nearest creature, which it will get to do with one action, and doesn't really make a preference between the two, so I'm just going to roll a dice. Odds, we go with Gurdrug. Evens, we go with Arius. Gurdrug is going to get attacked with another acid stream. Does a 23 hit?
Yeah.
Gerdrug, take 5 points of acid damage.
Thought that dagger was a 10.
Yeah, me too.
I'll take it.
And then after that stream shoots out at Gerdrug, then from all of the holes and the tunnels that are built in on this nest as it's getting broken apart, sprays acid in all directions. And I need a reflex save from everyone.
Looks like it's not me.
No. Oh, never mind. Kix is just barely outside of it. I really thought I was going to get you in there.
Okay, I got a failure with both of them, so it doesn't matter. Okay, they're the same, so I take the regular failure.
So tell me, what's that about? Like, if you're both affected by an AoE, you both roll and you take the better of the two rolls?
No, you take the worse.
Oh. Take the worse of the two rolls.
Oof.
Yep.
Wow.
Note to self. So failures from Sundrinker and Lucan. Arius, what'd you get?
15.
That's going to fail. And then it looks like Gerdrug got a 10.
Rolled a nat 1, got a 10. Didn't like that, so I used my hero point. Got a 27.
27 is a regular success.
Which is disgusting.
That's going to equal 8 acid damage. Everyone who failed takes the 8. Success, you take 4. For those who failed, you get persistent acid damage.
So how does that work for you, David?
I would only take it once.
I mean, he has 1 hit point pool.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
So you could say it's burning both of them, but it just the effects of it is just on 1 hit point pool.
Yeah, essentially.
Third action, it sprays another stream at Arius.
Can he not?
It's a ranged attack if you are a fighter. Does a 17 hit?
Fairly certain that misses. Hold up. Yes, that misses by 1.
All right, just barely over the shoulder, missing your head by mere inches. That is then now the Ostevite Nest's turn. That takes us over to Kix. Bottom of round 1. It's your turn.
Guidance on Gudrug. Gudrug. Let's see, as well as recall the teachings, aid within 30 feet.
Which would be Arius. Yeah, I guess anybody but me.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Then after Kix, that takes us to the top of round 2. Gerdrug, it's your turn.
So this is a swarm, essentially, right? Seems to be.
From a rules standpoint, no, it's not.
No?
Nope.
What kind of recall knowledge would it be on this thing?
To recall knowledge on the Ostevite Nest...
I forgot to do my part. That was a thing I should be doing. Sorry.
On this, I would either take religion or occult.
Occult it is. I'm going to make a recall knowledge on this thing with occultism. Get a 23.
A 23 is a success. Essentially, it's an object. This is an environmental hazard. We are in initiative with a hazard right now. It has a routine and is powered by a bunch of little bugs. Right now, it's not looking great. You've been hitting it, overcoming its hardness, or, you know, dealing some heavy damage to it, but it's still going and still standing right now.
Okay, so it's a hazard.
Correct.
I think I already know at least part of it, but weaknesses?
Weaknesses, bludgeoning, area, and splash.
Okay. Wish I would have made that alchemist now. How many things do I get?
Well, for your last thing, I'll kind of give you something here. In order to disable an Ostevite Nest, the hazard, you can attempt to just topple the mound instead of beating on it. Toppling it would also destroy it.
And that would be like a strength check?
Athletics.
Or athletics check?
Mm-hmm. This is where we get into ghost can't do territory.
Yeah, can't do that kind of stuff. Arius, if you just, like, knock the thing over, it should be good. And then I will drop one of my swords and attempt to punch it.
Punching it. I like the way you do things. All right, let's see it.
Okay. 17 to punch it.
17 to punch it? Misses.
This is an object, I'm assuming, yeah, like you said, no flat-footed or anything.
It can't be flanked, can't be caught flat-footed. If it could be flat-footed, that would have hit. But because it's an object, it doesn't.
I guess third action, I just try again. I don't really have anything better to do. Other than maybe just get the fuck away from it. But oh, nat 20, 23. I'm assuming it can't be crit either since it's an object. But
it also can't be crit, no, but you do hit.
3 damage. Bludgeoning.
3 bludgeoning damage is just enough to overcome its hardness with the inclusion of the weakness to deal a single point of damage. Clink.
Jesus, it has hardness and weakness.
Yeah, it also has hardness.
There's my turn.
That takes us to Arius. It's your turn.
Gerdrag, what was that about? Knocking it over?
Just push it. Knock it over.
Like, into you?
I mean, preferably not, but it'd like probably just go right through me anyways, so.
I don't know how to fucking trip things. How do I trip things?
It would be tripping.
Shove or do an athletics check.
Just athletics check.
It's just a straight athletics?
Straight athletics.
Yeah. I aid. I critically succeed on my aid.
You aid. Kix decides to aid on the athletics check to top of the mound.
I thought that was his athletics check, damn it.
That's a critical success, so I get plus 2.
Yeah.
Is that a critical success? Oh, I suppose because we're going based off of something different. That's right.
Push. Oh. Hero point. No. Yeah, hero. Boom.
Yeah, Lucan's almost dead. You might want a hero point.
It's up to you, man. Whatever you want.
Or heal Lucan.
I'll hero point it. Not much better, but magically a success?
Yes. A 19 is a success.
I mean, that's 25% better. So,
you go to push up against this mound, and as you press against it, you see that it's being held together by the, you know, whatever substance, silk, or webbing the Ostevites use to keep this thing together, and you just heave it over, and as it hits the floor, it clatters. And you can see little bits of bone spray all over the room and Ostevites skitter in all directions.
Did I also learn whether this thing will just rebuild itself over time or soon? Or
unless you do something about this area, it will likely come back and
fire.
Start rebuilding over time.
Burn it all down.
It'll take them, you know, maybe a day or more to fix it. But they, depending on how many there are, it's hard to say.
Anyways, ow. A couple of you guys have persistent damage still.
Yeah, we got to resolve that persistent damage before we jump out of initiative. So let's go ahead and have Arius take a point of acid damage. And
he only did one thing. He got two more actions.
I was going to say, I'm going to try and remove it.
That's fair.
I don't remember. I guess I can't really brush acid off my bones.
Actually, sometimes you can.
Can I just, like, remove the bone that has acid on it and grab a different bone and put it in there? is that how skeletons
work? Different bone from the pile.
Collapse and rebuild myself with different bones. No, I'm pretty sure that doesn't work. What is the actual check for this?
I don't remember. It could give you a bonus to your check, though.
Yeah, I don't remember what. What is this considered? Is this just in the persistent damage?
This is in, I believe it's administering first aid. I think it's a 2-action activity.
It's in the persistent damage rules, though. It's under assisted recovery.
Assisted recovery.
You can take steps to help yourself recover from persistent damage, or an ally can help you. This is usually an activity requiring 2 actions, which I have. GM discretion nonsense. Something about washing off acid. I'll ignore that.
Well, yeah, you tell me how you want to...
GM decides how the help works. Might involve a skill check or roll. There might be a reduced DC, flat checks, automatically end the condition due to a certain type of help.
Rebuilding all your bones.
I'm going to say for right now, you don't have a great method of getting rid of the acid, so you're going to give me a medicine check with a DC value that I have... I'm just going to use the hazards value, and we'll see how you do.
You said medicine check?
Yep.
I attempt to medicine myself. I get a 21 to medicine the acid off of me.
Well, you make it easier for you to recover using the flat check, we'll reduce it from 15 down to 12.
I like it.
Does it show you what you rolled?
19, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
It does, okay.
Well, you succeed, but now I have to. Can't do anything. I need battle medicine, which I don't have yet. So, basically, I'm going to die.
No potions, no nothing?
No, I spent it all on clothes and a wagon to carry my coffin.
Clothes.
Well, you can, I mean, do the thing I just did to reduce the DC at least so you don't keep dying.
Okay, I will do that.
If you'd like to do that, you can make me a medicine check.
Medicine check.
You want, you can try washing off in the viscera.
Mm.
I get a 22 medicine check.
A 22 is enough to bring your flat check down to a 12.
Down to a 12.
Instead of a 15.
You said I could try washing off in the viscera?
If you wanted to, yeah.
Sure, I dive into the viscera.
Oh, that's something that you'll do?
I only care about my clothes. If I feel like the viscera would help get the acid off of me, I'll be like, ah!
Okay, I'll reduce that down to a DC 10 on the flat check.
All right, let's do it.
Then, Lucan, at the end of your turn, you take 1 point of damage after you dive into the trough of viscera to assist in washing off the acid.
I go down.
So what happens to the blood drinker? Do they just disappear?
Sun drinker
or sun, yeah.
Fades into nowhere.
Okay, yeah.
It just, like, crumbles into bark and leaves?
No, it just fades away back to their home plane. I get a natural 1. I'll take my hero point. I get a 17.
That'll do it.
Ha ha!
But Lucan is unconscious in the viscera. If you needed to breathe, that would be a problem.
I want to point out that I laid down perfectly, beautifully, like very vampire in a coffin.
You don't get a choice in that.
Straight backed, arms crossed.
Exactly. Covered in acid and viscera. But my gosh, perfect posture in death.
All right, well, that since that takes care of everyone who has the persistent damage on them, we're going to go out of encounter mode here.
Well, I mean, I got to make death checks, right?
I mean, yeah, unless somebody brings you up.
Is anybody even capable of doing so?
It's a good question.
Arius has...
Arius is the cleric.
Healing magic. I don't know, does anybody have potions? I don't have any potions.
We're level 1, bro. I can't afford potions.
No, we're level 1. But we can afford a 3-action harm.
I own the heal spell.
Well, first off, I try my best to pull Lucan out of the gross goody.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think we're to that point in our relationship yet. I'm fine with them.
I mean, there's a bunch of us hurt right now, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to do a 3-action harm.
Better look out, Kix.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to run away.
I don't give you time. No, it's fine.
Wait, you're going to do what now? Bye.
I just see him start to cast, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
I rolled a fucking 3.
Rough.
I mean, it's just a D8. It's not... So that bone clinking sound go away after we destroyed that thing?
Yes, it does.
I thought it was something walking around.
That actually takes care of the threat in the room. Now that you are sitting here, kind of, you know, pulling Lucan out of a vat of a trough of viscera, he getting, you know, healed up.
That was quite unpleasant. Could we take just a bit of time?
Arius just looks at Gerdrug.
And I want to heal up.
Yeah, can we just go back upstairs? This place is gross.
Can we take time? I mean, we're going to have to, like, wait, like, an hour. I mean, how long
has it been? Yeah, this is going to be an hour, at least.
Yeah, we're going to have to sit back upstairs. I mean, it's our house, right? It's not like this thing's, this isn't one of those situations where, like, it's going to regroup. Like, I think we have...
Yeah, I mean, he said that it'd probably take at least a day for this thing to rebuild itself, so I don't think that's an issue. But I don't see why we couldn't kind of go back upstairs.
I mean, can What is this, like, is this brick?
When you say what is this brick, what are you talking about?
Like this area, like, could I like have a controlled fire?
Oh, down here.
Just burn it all. Campfire down here.
Like, I mean, yeah, fuck it. I don't need to breathe, right?
Are you talking about the viscera or the piles of bones and the bugs?
So it's the bones that are... Yeah.
Burning the bones and the bugs.
Yeah.
The bugs are... Bones.
Yeah, building the pile of bones. It's all about these Ostevites, right? If you can kill the Ostevites.
I feel like... I mean, bugs fucking hate smoke. If I just, like, billow this place up...
Lucan, you don't have... Do you have any AoE cantrips at all?
I don't.
No? What about you other guys? No. Any AoE cantrips?
I got seven silver pieces. I could just like... Couple coins are bound to kill some bugs.
Are there AoE cantrips?
There's ones that affect like a burst.
That ends up equating to just like a 5-foot square.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, Gale Blast does a 5-foot emanation. I go back upstairs. I don't know what the rest of you... You guys can all fuck around down here. I'm going back upstairs.
Yeah, ditto.
Why is where we live now so dangerous and full of things that want to kill us? You'd think we were Australian. Even they probably don't have a 14-foot-long writhing trough of viscera. But we do. What other weird, dangerous, terrible things will we discover in this mansion? Find out next time as we continue Bloodlords. And until then, may you have many great adventures of your own.
It's your turn.